the only ones I have left on the list are the ones that I use in my rotation on Stone Cold World.
Okay.
For These Remaining Days and Mr. Right. For These Remaining Days was a song that we played live a lot. And I used to Echoplex on that. And when it, you know, we could pretty much approximate the recording really well live for the solo part. And it works really well because it starts out as a basic kind of folk tune with acoustic guitar and then evolves into something, you know, more atmospheric and out there. But yeah, that's a good tune a good tune to play live, and people seem to like it.
What about Mr. Right?
I'd say Dave had a big hand in Mr. Right. He played the keyboard backing on that, and he was just really encouraging about the main line, the main riff, kind of brought that out. Rick put some great lyrics to it. It's a good tune.
Okay.
Have you seen my lady walking through this country fair? She was wearing gold and silver like the moonlight in her hair. Have you seen my lady's gypsy? She is wise beyond the years, but she knows when things will happen, and she knows what my lady feels.
we had basically enough of a falling. I guess it really kind of goes to Europe, as a record collector in Germany who had all our 45s. By now, they were sort of like collector's items.
Mm-hmm.
Asked us if he could, you know, compile them in an anthology.
Oh, so he's the guy with Music Maniac, then?
Yeah, so Hans at Music Maniac did that and basically provided us with an opportunity to go over there and play. So
did you go over to Europe a lot then?
We actually went about three times. 87, I believe it was. I might have this wrong. I think it was 88, 90, and then 92, I think, were the three tours. Our first one was like in Norway. We went through Norway, which was pretty amazing. And I remember Metallica was, at the same time Metallica's bass player died in that...
Car crash?
We were on that same road like a week later, you know.
Oh, you're kidding.
That was the circuit. And it was kind of a trip. Our booking agent was Paperclip out of Holland, which Nirvana also used up until they became famous, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they were based in Holland, so we basically always played Germany, Holland, and then they, you know, would slap on other countries as they could. You know, one time it was Sweden, the other time it was Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were short tours, maybe a week. The longest one was like 2 weeks, I think.
Hmm. How were the European crowds different than the U.S. crowds?
Just really totally receptive. It was great for us because the clubs in L.A. are all kind of based on, you know, drawing a crowd, and, you know, obviously they want to see the place packed. And we would do okay if we had, you know, like complimentary bands like a Rain Parade or somebody on the bill.
Mm-hmm.
But never really had our own following here. And then when we went to Europe, you know, it was like amazing to see, you know, we'd actually be able to fill a place with 500 people or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was great.
Yeah, that sounds great.
in the rain.
Yeah, Webster Field was actually a softball game that used to go on with roadies and various members of local bands back in the 80s. It was like Daniel Webster High School. And Rick, in his inimitable way, just kind of like took that title and turned it into something else, you know. I always thought it was one of our better riffs too.
Oh, in a field of green.
I kind of picked Don't Slander Me because Dave and I were fortunate enough to do a recording of that song with Sky Saxon of the Seeds.
Oh, is that what you did on that that album that's mentioned on your website?
Yeah, Play New Rose for me. It was on the French New Rose label.
Uh-huh.
But what was cool about it was that Mitch Mitchell was the drummer on that track.
Oh, from the Jimi Hendrix Experience?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, one of my heroes,
mm-hmm.
even as the drummer, you know, I always thought that he was probably the best drummer next to John Bonham or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And to actually get to work with the guy was like definitely a highlight of my career as a droog.
Oh, that would be.
Oh yeah, it was a real kick. It was Sky, who we met through a friend down here. Actually, Sky kind of was interested in us because our fourth single had a song on it. It was basically emulating his style, and it was basically lyrically about him. It's called Overnight Success.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, we made a concerted attempt to, you know, sound like the Seeds or write a song that was Seeds-like. And when he came out and started playing the L.A. clubs, he sought us out, and we actually backed him for a short time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a few performances we played as his backup band. And that was an experience because he's changed some over the years.
Now, I was going to ask, I mean, you know, sort of like, you know, you hear these stories about Rocky Erickson and Sky Saxon. I mean, are they personable guys? I mean, are they all there? I mean,
They're personable. I don't know if Sky's all there, but, you know, he was still able to get out and do his thing, you know. I'd say it was probably a little bit more freeform than you're used to when you think about the Seeds or whatever. But, yeah, he's an interesting guy. Kind of an honor to meet him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is. I always think of the Rolling Stone record guy, the first one that came out. I think it's the opening sentence in their entry on the Seeds. They say, two great chords, five great albums.
Yeah.
But no, he put out a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, I kind of picked Pushing Too Hard. I thought was just really a great song.
Yeah, it's really got a driving sort of
rhythm
to it.
Yeah, and the recording is so clear. It doesn't sound overdubbed. It's, you know, I don't know. It's another one of those magic in the grooves kind of records.
You're pushing too hard. You're pushing on me. You're pushing too hard on what you want me to be. You're pushing too hard about the things you say. You're pushing too hard every night and day. You're pushing too hard. Pushing too hard on me. Well, all I want
try to give me their love, but I was too far away to touch. They cried and screamed, share my dream, at times it hurt too much. We'll be right back.
a big 60 fan base in places like Spain and Italy and all over Europe, you know. I was thinking about that more because you were kind of asking me about, you know, what do you think it is about, you know, Europe that we went over so well over there. And I think it's their radio, the fact that they have a really tight playlist, you know. I mean, a diverse playlist. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't really hone in on alternative rock or something. It's just, you know, they play all kinds of weird stuff, all kinds of Euro disco and into classical, and at least that's what I noticed when I was over there. It's like you couldn't get one format, you know, going. And so I think it causes rock and roll fans to, like, seek stuff out, you know.
Mm-hmm. They just get a taste of something and maybe want to delve in deeper.
Yeah, and it's like rather than go for the mainstream stuff, they're looking at everything. It's all fair game. So if you're out there, whether you're independent or not, you know, the fans find you, it seems to me. That's kind of what I got out of it. They don't have the big music industry machinery running over there so much as they have in the U.S., you know.
What about Reach the Dawn?
Reach the Dawn.
That's on Want Something.
It seems to me that that was inspired by our playing in West Germany. We were actually played a show. It was kind of a music festival in Berlin, and this was before the wall had come down. And I guess we left the club like 2-3 a.m. and then we're driving back through passing through East Germany to get on our way to catch a ferry to believe we were going to Italy at that point. And we got stopped a number of times by the
checkpoints.
Yeah, there was the checkpoint, which was kind of off-putting because they basically, you know, ran crawlers under our truck with mirrors and mirror inspection and all this kind of thing. I know that made a big impression on all of us, and especially Rick, who conjured these lyrics up to kind of reflect that whole scene. for playing live, the last thing we did was the Roskilde Festival in Denmark, and that was 1997. We were on kind of a standby basis. They flew us over there, and we were scheduled to play a Sunday morning slot, and as it turned out, the Wu-Tang Clan couldn't show up, and they put us on.
Well, I get you two guys mixed up all the time.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of similarities there. So we kind of had to dodge some flying bottles and cups of mud and stuff, but eventually kind of won the crowd over, actually got an encore out of it. And it was, I think there's a bootleg out. In fact, I know there is a guy in Norway that does a little fanzine called Goldies. Got a hold of it, because I believe it was broadcast on public or national radio over there.
Hmm.
So somebody recorded that show, and it died down fairly quickly, but the first song was something to remember.
What were you playing, do you remember?
Call Off Your Dogs.
Oh, okay. Well chosen.
Kind of our opener, yeah.
Yeah.
Love-In. What's that about?
Let's see. There's a line in Easy Rider where the rednecks are observing Nicholson and Hopper and Peter Fonda, like having lunch at a little backwoods diner, and one of them says they look like refugees from a Gorilla Love-In. And that is just kind of an in-joke with the band. You know, we always got off on that line. And since we had done an album called Gorilla Love-In, we always felt like we should have a song called Gorilla Love-In. So that was the impetus to get that one done.
Well, one of them darn sure is not Ula. Looked like a bunch of refugees from a Gorilla Love-In.
A gorilla couldn't love that.
Nor could a mother.
We'll be right back. The sun goes down on my baby's dreams. The night comes on, but I can't sleep. Things keep slipping from bad to worse. Can there be more angry people in this universe? Down by law or hurt by love? Everybody wants to cover up. Ain't nobody businessman. Try to make it the best I can. If you want me, baby, you can find me, baby. I'll be at the River Loving. If you want me, baby, you can find me, baby. I'll be at the River Loving. Loving. Life ain't no easy ride. Baby, I just wanna go where I can be free. Well, Jackie and Johnny stole a car, took some money from a liquor store, driving out on Highway 10. No way they're coming back again. Fools for love and ruled by fire. The price of freedom don't get much higher. Somewhere there's a place out there. Just wanna be treated fair. If you want me, baby, you can find me, baby. I'll be at the River Loving. If you want me, baby, you can find me, baby. I'll be at the River Loving.
Struck me is just the searching I did and reading up on you guys and on the web. But yeah, you seem like you have a dedicated core following.
Yeah, it's they're all spread out. That's the thing. If you could get them all together in one place, it'd be pretty impressive. But yeah, it's always been spread out, you know, all over Europe and
people in the Midwest. We occasionally somebody will rediscover us off of our website,
mm-hmm.
Which is www.thedroogs.com. might plug that.
Yes, there will be links aplenty from the Turn Me On Dead Man site.
Okay, great. Yeah, and we get, now it's email, you know, it used to be regular mail to our P.O. box in Van Nuys, California, but nowadays you get email and, you know, you get somebody that said, you know, I saw you guys back in Cleveland, you know, but I don't know if you remember me, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys up to? So I basically just tell them about our inclusion on this indie film that's coming out, Iris Ann, and the fact that we've been trying to do a best of the Droogs, which I feel would get our music out to a new audience, a younger audience. And
how often do you play now?
You know, we're just recording now. We're just Rick and I are writing tunes, and we do have a local drummer that comes in now and again when we have something, just to kind of lay out some demos. Dave's out in Austin, Texas, so he's not really available there for working things up. But
so, who plays bass for you now?
I play bass, but obviously that's just for recording purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't have a full-time bass player at the moment. I don't know about playing live again. It's almost like I feel like we did it, and we did it pretty well. It's just nice to get the music out to people, and we do have fans that are always asking for, you know, when's the new thing, you know, when are we going to get some new music, so it kind of is inspirational in that regard.
I don't know the lyrics to the song, to be honest, but ahead of my time, what were you referring to there, and how do you feel now when I want to use it as sort of your anthem?
Well, Rick would probably be the one to explain the lyrics, but it seems to me it was in that kind of tough little chick vein that a lot of our songs were, had that kind of sentiment about, you know, I want to know you, but you probably don't want to know me type of thing. And, yeah, it's just strange how it turned out to be, to mean something else in viewing our 30-plus year career, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I was just curious if you guys think of it that way, as like it now having that double meaning of your band being ahead of its time.
Yeah, it's never been a great song to play live, unfortunately. You know, there was another band that did it, and that kind of was inspirational to us. I think I mentioned Psychotic Pineapple, and
mm-hmm.
No one's ever heard of them, kind of like a lot of people haven't heard of us. But yeah, it gave us a boost that they did it, kind of like, hey, somebody else likes that riff, you know, we should play it too.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's special show, an interview show with Roger Clay of the Droogs. I'd like to thank him for participating in tonight's show. If you'd like to find out more about the Droogs, go to the Turn Me On Dead Men website at www.turnmeondeadmen.net/features.html, or you can go to the Droogs official band website at www.thedroogs.com. Next week's show will be a look at Led Zeppelin's influence and also the influences on Led Zeppelin. So I will see you then.